Well, Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Edmundo. Happy Monday.
And it's a happy Monday indeed, because we are here today to discuss what's going on in the business world of Las Cruces and the surrounding area.
Absolutely. This week, I'm looking a little farther away than our county borders, looking at the state's oil and gas industry. I had a chance last week to speak with Dr. Wynn Porter. He was the Assistant Administrator for Solid Waste and Emergency Response with the Environmental Protection Agency back under Presidents Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush. And he says that things are looking really good for us right now, especially in the Carlsbad Hobbs, that southeastern quadrant of the state. Things are just booming. New Mexico is, the oil production is up nearly 70% from where we were in 2008. And it's projected to increase another 20% in 2014. And a lot of this is because of new technology. You know, you've heard, I'm sure, about fracking and also horizontal drilling. The fracking is sort of a bit of controversy now. But we're not doing too much of that in New Mexico specifically. But they have been able to tap a lot of previously untappable reserves. And it's really an economic boon, not only to the businesses that are serving the oil producing companies and their employees, you know, as the service and housing sectors try to keep pace with the oil development companies. I know it's almost impossible to find a contractor around Carlsbad right now because they're so busy trying to build more accommodations for all of these workers that are coming in. But it also, it's a real boon to the state in the form of increased oil and tax gas revenue, which, you know, in turn, the state leases state land to oil and gas prospecting and development. And those lease monies come back to the state in the form of money for education, higher education, high school, grade school, all forms of education in the state. And overall state earnings from the leases between July 2013 and June 2014 came in at $817 million. That's according to Senele Stewart. He's the state's deputy land commissioner. And of that, 97% comes directly from oil and gas production on state lands. And you know, $817 million infusion into state funds is by far the best year ever in the history of the state land office. Basically, the last 3 years have been the highest in the history, and we're getting bigger and bigger every year. Next year, they're projecting conservatively at least another $800 million, and those will probably go up. And they're also seeing an increase in some of the other revenue that we get from agricultural leases, people who hold grazing leases. They're seeing more increase in alternative energies, as we've talked about before. The state's leasing out land that is being used for solar and wind development. And as in fact, I was talking to Ray Powell last week, and he told me that they've just signed off on another deal in Torrance County for a wind farm. So again, the state's really doing its best, I think, and to manage these resources for us. But for the foreseeable future, some of these wells that are being drilled right now, those could take another 10 to 20 years before we see maximum production.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, the state land office folks were telling me that, you know, 10 years ago we thought we had reached maximum oil, and here in New Mexico we were running out completely, or not running out completely, but it just was no longer profitable to exploit oil and gas. But that's just no longer the case. This is going to be driving our economy, all sectors of our economy, for another 10, 20 years, it looks like.
That's pretty interesting. It should be interesting to see how the legislature, you know, looks to fight up, you know, divide up that money. And, you know, I'm pretty sure it's allocated, correct?
Absolutely. The state land trust monies are allocated to education. But there are still secondary incomes in tax revenue, you know, secondary tax revenue from the spending that's going on in the construction that all goes into the general state coffers. And so it's going to be a little more money for them to wrestle over up in Santa Fe, I'm sure.
And in this week's column, you've got the Green Chamber of Commerce coming on back on board.
Yeah, Carrie Hamlin stepped back up to the keyboard this week. She was talking this week about some efforts nationally that mirror the efforts that the Green Chamber is trying to produce locally, as far as localism, shopping local, spending local, supporting local companies and local families who own those companies, because that money does, as we've said before, come right back into our community at a much greater rate than, say, the dollar you spend at a chain store. That's going to go out of state. The money you spend at a local store is going to stay in state. And she points to a couple of examples. One is Buffalo First in Buffalo, New York, and another is Arizona First, that are really promoting the localism movement as part of an effort to keep local dollars local and keep the local economy strong.
Great. And in the business profile this week,
This is interesting, and I have to give you credit. You actually brought this gentleman to my attention. We're profiling Brian Sullivan. He was born in El Salvador and immigrated to the U.S., and I'll let you talk a bit more about that. But we profile his business, successful business that he's opened here in Las Cruces, Sullivan Design at 1990 East Loman, Suite 103, and he offers web development, graphic design, print solutions, brand identity and services, and it's really an amazing story. I'm going to kick it back to you to share his story.
Well, you know, these days, some great stories start at Facebook. And the people you meet through Facebook, and you meet them out in the community, and, you know, we've known them. And, you know, he called me one day. I said, look, I'd like to talk to you because you have experience in owning a business about my business. And I said, sure. And so we struck up a conversation, and, you know, he talked about web development and all of those things, and they were really interesting to me. But what was interesting to me is when I said, what's your story? And this happened right around the time when in South Texas, they were having all these immigrants that were coming in through South Texas, these children. And he told me his story is that he was born in war-ravaged El Salvador in 1980. And right after his birth, he was pretty much orphaned. And at six months old, he was flown into the U.S. and was adopted soon thereafter. And, you know, he was embraced in this country, you know, right at birth, you know, and he has done so much to give back to the country that adopted him, and you know, the American dream of starting a business, and you know, he was touched by everything that was happening as well, you know, knowing that he was at that point, at one point in his life, that's where he was.
Yeah, I think it's not only a good business story, it's a good human story because it reminds us that these children that are coming to our border. You know, your politics aside, your beliefs aside, these children have the potential to do, you know, exactly what Brian has done, become good, solid, productive American citizens. And we have to remember that we are a nation of immigrants. And those that we turn away today could have been our salvation in the future.
How his business will develop. Here it's Brian, Sullivan Design, yeah. Here in Las Cruces.
Yeah.
And in the what's new, I'm smelling coffee again.
Yes, you know, we talked last week about chili being one of my favorite smells. My second favorite is brewing coffee, and my third is old books.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've got a chance to get at least two of those in one spot. There's a new Milagro Coffee y Espresso. They've opened a new standalone coffee shop inside Coas Books at 317 North Main. And Madeline Williams, the manager, she told me that the location took roughly 3 months to open. You know, anytime you're dealing with permitting and health department, it takes a while. But they're offering from, I believe, 7:30 in the morning through 1 o'clock, coffee, pastries, yogurts, fruits. So you can pop in and get your cuppa while you're looking through some of Coas's fine selection of books.
It's a great combination.
Yeah,
it's a
absolutely.
Wonderful combination. I remember when they used to have a coffee shop back there many years ago.
Yeah.
It would be easy to pick a book, you know, browse through it, get a cup of coffee. But now this is going to be great to have that once again.
Absolutely. And they've got an entrance not only off of Coas proper, but off of the main street there. They're in the front of the building this time, as opposed to the old coffee shop that was sort of toward the back.
Well, Jason, thank you very much for coming in.
You're very welcome. My pleasure as always.
For KRWG News, I'm Edmundo Resendez.